This evening, I will be sharing with you one of the most important topics that is related to what is the meaning of being born again of the Spirit of God. Now, until unless one is born again of the Spirit of God, one cannot claim to be a Christian. A Christian means one has to be born again of the Spirit of God in order for the Holy Spirit to come through and receive the life of Jesus and, of course, accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. I shall begin to read John chapter 3 together with you in order to explain what is the meaning of being born again of the Spirit of God. Let us read together John chapter 3 from verse 1 all the way to verse 14. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, there are many, many so-called Christians, and even pastors and preachers, that have yet to be born again of the Spirit of God. They have been in churches perhaps for many, many years, some of them, and did not realize that in order to enter the kingdom of God, the first essential thing is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Likewise, there are many, many people out there that claim that they have been born again of the Spirit of God, when in actual fact they are not truly or genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. What is the meaning of being born again of the Spirit of God? Let us analyze together from chapter 3, beginning from verse 1 again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, my dearly beloved, Nicodemus was a spiritual leader, ruler of the Jews, and also a man of the Pharisees. You see, he had a lot of head knowledge. He had studied the scripture, the Old Testament. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ told him that the fundamental things that he need to receive is to be born again of the Spirit of God. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ realized that Nicodemus had not been born again of the Spirit of God. He can be a person that had a lot of head knowledge. He could be a pastor or a preacher in a church for that matter. It doesn't make any difference. Or he could be someone that has attended church for many, many years and even receive water baptism as well as communion and so on. And yet, Nicodemus was not born again. You see, there are many, many Christians today, quote unquote, claim themselves to be born again when in actual fact they are not born again of the Spirit of God. And so our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, until unless one is born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God, neither enter the kingdom of God. So then here comes Nicodemus, who asked the Lord God and says, wait a minute, how could one be born again? Don't tell me that one has to return the second time into the mother's womb and be born. And our Lord Jesus Christ replied in verse 5, and Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, my dearly beloved, what our Lord Jesus Christ essentially is trying to tell Nicodemus is simple. Number one, in order for us to be born into this world, we've got to be born from the mother's womb, isn't it? There is no other way to go around it. In order to be a human being, we've got to be born, and of course, from the mother's womb. You cannot buy them like a doll and make them alive, isn't it? A doll is dead. And a doll is not like a baby. You see, a doll is manufactured by a human being, and of course, a doll does not have life, isn't it? Now, a baby, you can't purchase a baby, or make a baby from a doll for that matter. A baby has got to be born from a mommy's womb in order to become really a live baby. We know that, right? Likewise, being born again of the Spirit of God, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned that we've got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. Now, let me put this in a very simple term. Believing in Jesus and to be born again of the Spirit of God means we've got to have a relationship with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus Christ is not a religion, but rather a relationship with the presence of the living Savior in the form of the Holy Spirit that indwell in our heart. The very moment we are born again of the Spirit of God, we become alive spiritually. And the Holy Spirit will begin to indwell in our heart and give us the life of Christ of a baby life, just like a little baby. Now, the Word of God tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. In other words, For us to be able to become the children of God, we've got to choose by faith, simple faith of a little child, to believe in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and to pay all of our sin debt in full. And it is through his blood, his precious blood, that each and every one of our sins are washed away. And then he will send the Holy Spirit to come to indwell in our heart and seal us with the Holy Spirit like a stamp. Now the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions unto the praise of his glory. Now let me explain this in a simple, everyday term in the world that we live in. Salvation is described as one that owes money. Let's assume that you borrow $1 million from the bank to do business. And then all of a sudden, you went bankrupt and you are not able to pay that $1 million back to the bank. However, you have a father who is very rich and your father loves you very much and decided to pay on your behalf to the bank for that $1 million. And so all you have to do is to accept that offer from your father's help. And your father will say to you, son, I've got that $1 million. How about if I go to the bank and pay that on your behalf? Would you agree to that? And would you accept that? Well, perhaps you can say yes, or perhaps you can say no, right? Let's assume that you have decided to accept your father's offer of help and with a heart of absolute trust in your dad simply because you know that your dad loves you. And so you say, Dad, thank you very much for helping me. And yes, please go ahead and pay to the bank and I will accept that. And thank you for doing that for me and loving me. Now, that's one response. Now, the other response, you can say, no, Dad, I don't need your help. And out of pride, you rejected your father's offers of help. And as a result, the bank will run after you and you've got to pay that debt on your own. And of course, if you fail to pay that debt, you will end up in jail, isn't it? So you can say yes to your father out of a humble heart and absolute trust that your father would pay all of debt for you. Or you can say out of a pride, no to your father, simply because you are rebellious and refuse to trust your father's love to pay on your behalf. So likewise today, you can have two responses. You can have yes, please pay for me, Dad. Or you can say, no, I don't need your help out of your pride and a spirit of unbelief in your father. So here we are, likewise, our Heavenly Father gave us that option in what we call the free will. God has given us the free will to choose whether to accept Jesus Christ as a full payment of our sin debt, just like I mentioned earlier, to the bank. And so Christ Jesus came down to die on the cross in order to pay all of our sin debt in full. And all we have to do is say yes to our Lord Jesus Christ so that he did pay it all. Or you can say, no, I don't need that. And I will pay all the sin debt on my own, which of course the penalty is eternal damnation and death. And as a result, when you die, you will have to pay all of your sin debt in the lake of fire yourself, simply because you refused the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf to take away all of that sins. Now, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ's death on the Calvary as the full payment of our sin debt, then of course, What exactly happened is this. Jesus Christ will take away all of your sins upon himself and died on your behalf. And then he will give his righteousness to you simply because our Lord God is absolutely holy and he had not committed any sin. He was born on the earth and walked through as a man and was tempted at every point, and yet he did not sin. And so he qualified to die on our behalf. And what he essentially does is to trade position. In other words, he's going to take all of our sins upon himself, and then he's going to give you his righteousness. In other words, you can't earn salvation. You see, unlike religions out there, there are many, many religions that require working. You see, you've got to do some good works in order to be saved. But the Word of God tells us that salvation is by grace. In other words, it is the gift of God. You can't improve on it. You cannot do anything to receive salvation. You see, it takes Jesus Christ, his absolute holy life, to be able to take your sin upon him and trade and give you his life. And of course, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Just like I mentioned, Jesus Christ is not a religion. It is a relationship. You cannot work to receive your salvations. And if somebody else have taught you that, then of course they're not giving you Christ Jesus. What they're giving you is but a religion. Now, why is it that Jesus Christ has to die on the cross in order to pay our sin debt in full? It all began from the story of the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve. Now keep in mind that right from the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, the first thing that he did is he blew his spirit into Adam and he became a living being. Genesis 2 verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now the problem comes later on when Adam and Eve were created, and then Satan comes along in the form of the serpent and lied to them, and they took to his lies. We know that story, don't we? And the Lord God told Adam and Eve, "Don't you ever eat the tree of good and evil, for the very day you eat of that tree, the very day you die." And of course, here comes Satan, crafty and sneaky, and a destroyer. And Satan began to deceive Eve and told Eve to eat and disobey God. And of course, both Adam and Eve ate the fruit of that tree and had fallen into sin. And as a result, they discovered that they become naked, and all of a sudden death took over. You see, the Word of God tells us the very day they have sinned and disobeyed God, the very day they die. Now keep in mind that the Lord God that we worship is a God of love, and he is also a God of righteousness and justice, and he is a holy God. So when he said it, the very day you sin is the very day you die, God cannot change that verdict. It's already done. It's a done deal. However, God, being the God of love, sent his only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, to come down and to die on our behalf, just like a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world and was made a sacrifice in order to save us from eternal damnations. That's the love of God that is manifested through the cross. In other words, just like I mentioned earlier, that our Lord God loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross in order to set us free from eternal damnations, so long as we choose to believe in his death on the cross as a payment of our sin debt in full. For that reason, the Word of the Lord God tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, it takes just a simple faith of a little child in order to receive the eternal life. A simple faith in trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now let me give you a simple illustration. Let's assume you bought a new house. And of course, in order to get the source of light, you've got to call the company that provides the electricity to your house, isn't it? I remember vividly years ago when my mother purchased a brand new house in Singapore. That was when I was a young teenager and I did not realize that the house does not come with electricity. And so my mother reprimanded me simply because there was no light in the house. And when we moved into the house, there was no electricity. And I was just but a young girl and totally ignorant of the very fact that the house did not come with electricity and that I've got to apply and call the company in order to receive electricity. And so I asked my neighbor, how do we get the electricity? Well, the neighbor said, you know, you need to call the company and ask them to provide that electricity. And that's exactly what I did. So I applied for the electricity and, of course, called the company. And before long, by faith in the company, the electricity comes through. And the power of light, the source of light, comes through. You see, my dearly beloved, at that point of time, if I did not believe my neighbor's word and did not call the company, of course, I will still be in absolute darkness, don't you think? Likewise, I've got to trust the electricity company to provide that light by faith, by calling the company and say, please, we do need electricity, isn't it? Likewise, today, if you believe the word of God, just like I told you, as the scripture writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just like my neighbor, I'm here to tell you that you've got to believe in Jesus to receive the power of life. You see, the word of God tells us that Jesus Christ is life. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And that was written in John 1 by the Apostle John, as well as written in the first epistle of John chapter 5. It says in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. For that reason, if you choose to believe in Jesus, then he is the source of life, you see. He will give us the power to become the sons of God, just like the Apostle John writes, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. You see, the very moment we believe by faith in the name of Jesus, he will give us that power to become the sons of God. Just by believing, just like I said earlier, when you believe the company and call the company to provide light into my home, then the company will switch on that power and all of a sudden I got light into the house, isn't it? Likewise, when we choose to believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross to pay all of our sin debt in full, and when we believe from the deepest part of our heart, without wavering, without doubting, without questioning, all of those ugly spirits from the power of darkness, we reject those ugly spirit of doubt and questioning and unbelief and choose to believe like a little child. Just like I said, the company that provide the light earlier, I choose to believe in that company, and all of a sudden I receive the light in the house. Likewise today, if you choose to believe in Jesus, you will receive his life, the power to become the sons of God, and the life of Christ will come through to you, and you become born again of the Spirit of God. Now in here, verse 5 earlier, we have just read, our Lord Jesus mentioned, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, what is the meaning of water? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 7, verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is the very living water that we need to drink. And if we believe in him, all of a sudden we'll receive from the deepest part of our heart rivers of living water, simply because the Holy Spirit will work hand in hand with the life of Christ and flow within our heart his presence. Now, how exactly that work is an amazing and wonderful thing that no carnal mind could exactly comprehend. For example, even physical life alone. Can you understand how we become alive today physically? Not at all. We know that we've got that hormone, right, that works, that controls the body. And of course, the heartbeat would work. However, we know also that those are not the main thing that cause us to be alive. There is a supernatural power that God has given to mankind, and that power is what we call the breath of life that the Lord God had blown into Adam and Eve when we were created in the Garden of Eden. And that power is what caused the physical being to be alive. But how exactly that works, no carnal mind can ever comprehend that, isn't it? It is still a mysterious thing, even though we know that when that power is cut off, we become dead physically, right? Likewise, when we become born again of the Spirit of God, we know that it takes the life of Jesus hand in hand with the Holy Spirit that indwells in our heart in order for us to be born again of the Spirit of God and grow according to the Word of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to grow us and teach us in the ways of truth hand in hand with the Word of the Scripture. Likewise, the word water in verse 5 right here, "except a man be born of water and of spirit," refers to Jesus Christ himself, simply because in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, 7 and 8, let me read these verses to you. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." So you see, my dearly beloved, water in here refers to Christ Jesus himself, just as it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood." Now, I've got to explain to you in order for you to comprehend that the God that we worship is three in one, called the Trinity. What do you mean by that? Well, to try to comprehend the Trinity from our carnal mind is almost impossible. However, let me give you a simple real-life illustration. For example, an egg has got an egg shell, an egg white, and an egg yolk, isn't it? Now, these three parts of an egg are one egg. We cannot say that the egg shell is not egg, right? And we cannot say that the egg yolk is not egg. Correct? Neither the egg white is not part of the egg. We know these three are one egg, and yet they are different parts of the egg. Likewise, the sun. We've got the sun source, we've got the sun ray, and of course we've got the heat. Right? These three are one. Human beings are the same thing. We've got the physical aspect of a human being, which you and I can see and touch. And we've got the emotional aspect of the human being, which is the soul being. And you feel very unhappy, you feel very sad, you feel love, and so on. Those are the soul being. And of course, we also have the third part of a human being called the spiritual aspect, which we have lost right from the Garden of Eden. And as a result, the whole humanity is a big, huge mess. And we have been disconnected from the Lord God ever since Adam and Eve have fallen into sin and become dead spiritually. And of course, we all suffer physical death as a result and become disconnected from the Lord God up to today. And as a result, we have all kind of religions simply because we are disconnected from our Heavenly Father and do not know what He is like. And that's the reason why we have so many proliferations of all kind of religion. And it takes the gospel of Jesus Christ today in order to restore us once again in the right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as a result, just like our Lord Jesus Christ says, we've got to be born again of the Spirit of God in order to restore that relationship and in order to bring us back into His loving arms and brings us back into eternity. And someday we would enter again into the kingdom of God to see our Heavenly Father instead of being disconnected from the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Now, I'm going to give you a few illustrations for you to comprehend much more what it means to be born again of the Spirit of God. For example, if you go to a foreign land, it requires a passport in order to go through immigration, isn't it? Without a passport, it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich, you're poor, you're educated, you're smart. It doesn't make any difference. You are not allowed to enter through the immigration. And if you do not have a passport, whether you like it or not, they'll kick you out of the door. And of course, they would not allow you to come through to that country. Likewise, we've got to be born again of the Spirit of God in order for us to enter into the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is our passport, incidentally. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned you've got to be born of water and of Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a seal, is our passport. The very moment the contract of the sin debt loan is canceled, then a new contract is sealed that says, you are a child of a living God and now endorsed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemptions of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. In other words, the Lord God had bought you with His precious blood and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. So once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the Holy Spirit would act like the passport, you see. He's going to be the one that brings us into eternity. And likewise, He's also going to be the one responsible to transform us to the image of Jesus Christ so that someday, prior to leaving the temporal earth and meet our Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to have that passport of the Holy Spirit and ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ, just looking like the Master ourselves, being the sheep of the Lord and being the bride of Christ. Is that kind of clear? Now, number two, another illustration of being born again of the Spirit of God is just like a baby. Now, a doll, no matter how beautiful it is just but a doll. And you cannot feed a doll with any food, right? Perhaps you can say to a doll, doll, I'd like to give you this food. These are so delicious. Do you think the doll will be able to eat? Not at all. Why? Simply because a doll is dead and does not have life. Now, but a newborn baby, let's assume you have a daughter or a child who is a baby, or perhaps a sister or a brother. Now, babies do not need to be taught how to eat simply because the baby is alive. And when they become hungry, they will scream and yell and they would like to be fed with milk, isn't it? Now, the reason is very simple, because a baby is a life, and a baby automatically, without being taught, will go hungry and requires food and, of course, milk, and the baby is able to grow into a child and able to even talk simply because in the baby there is what we call life. The law of life is in the baby, but a doll does not have life, and a doll cannot talk. Of course, it can mimic talking, but that is not life. That is just robots, isn't it? Robotics. And of course, a doll cannot grow as well. Likewise, our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, can be compared to a phone equipment. Let's assume you have a landline phone equipment. And when you purchase that landline phone, you know that that phone requires a cable and, of course, the company to connect the phone, right? It doesn't make any sense that you say, well, you know what, I have the equipment, but I don't need the cable. Well, you know what happened if you don't have the cable. There is no dial tone. You've got to have a cable and put on that cable to the phone in order to have a dial tone. Of course, call up the company to be able to connect that phone line as well. You cannot say, you know what, I bought this equipment, very expensive, it is made of gold, and I've washed it every single day. But you know, without the cable, no matter how expensive that phone is, no matter how many times you wash it, it is still not going to work, isn't it? Likewise, the phone equipment is a religion. Without the cable, it's not going to work. You see, Jesus Christ and being born again of the Spirit of God is like having the phone equipment with the cable. But if you go to church and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you just merely have a phone equipment with no cable. And what's the use? You can call and call, hello, hello, and it's still not going to work, right? Simply because what you do is just religion, and you need to get the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God in order to be able to call through smoothly to your dad overseas, perhaps. And you say, hello, dad. And of course, your dad will respond as a hello, dear. That is simply a common sense, isn't it? Likewise today, there are many, many Christians who go to church and claim to be born again when they are not. You see, they are but what we call temporizer. They think they know God. In actual fact, they realize that their prayers have not been heard, that they don't know what God is all about simply because they are missing the cable. Likewise, another illustration to make it clear what born again is all about is having the car with the key. Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, is like having a car with the key. Now, religion is like having a car with no key. You see, you can wash the car nicely, you can study the car, the color of the car, the manufacturers of the car, and the model of the car, and the external appearance of the car. But what is the use of studying all of those things and yet not having the key to the car, right? If you don't have the key to the car, you can't drive that car. What's the use of buying a car and not having the key to it and not knowing how it feels, you see? But once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you got the key to that car and you drive that car and you feel it is really smooth and nice, and it is absolutely joyful to be able to drive in that car. Likewise, religion is getting a car, purchasing a car, or having a car with no key, while being born again of the Spirit of God is having the car with the key and being able to drive that car smoothly and enjoy the ride. That's exactly what born again of the Spirit of God with the presence of the Holy Spirit is all about, is having the car and the key at the same time. While going to church and not born again of the Spirit of God, perhaps you can study the Bible, you can have all the head knowledge like the Pharisee, like Nicodemus, but it is still pointless simply because you just got the car, you study the external of the car, but you can never comprehend how it feels to drive the car, isn't it? Now back to John chapter 3, verse 7. Our Jesus Christ says in here, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and that thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, my dearly beloved, Nicodemus has got the car with no key, you see, for that reason. He said, I don't understand. How can these things be? Well, our Lord replied to him and said, You know, you are supposed to be the master of Israel. How can you not know these things? You see, Nicodemus is a man that's got the car and learned everything about the external features of the car, but simply do not have the key to the car. So he could not understand, neither comprehend, how does the car feel when you have got the key and the smoothness of driving in that car? You see, being born again of the Spirit of God is just like the wind that bloweth. And you are able to hear the sound, but you don't know when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ said. You see, being born again of the Spirit of God is an absolute distinct experience. You see, my dearly beloved, it is not a wishy-washy or uncertain or not sure. Once the Holy Spirit gets in your heart, it is absolute crystal clear because you have discovered there is somebody living in your body now. There is a new person that is living in your heart. And whenever you disobey the Holy Spirit, your heart will be so troubled and so heavy that you've got to confess and repent of that sins before you're rectified and felt peace in your heart. And you know that simply because the Holy Spirit is that person that has now indwelt in your heart. Now, in order to be born again of the Spirit of God, you've got to confess your sins and repent of them. Number one, you have to comprehend what salvation is all about, just like I mentioned earlier. If you owe money to the bank and you're not able to pay for it, and here comes your father that paid for it, and you are willing to choose to let him pay for it, then that is what salvation is all about. Once you comprehend that, the Word of God tells us that we've got to confess our sins. And until unless we confess our sins and wash them, and repent of our sins, we cannot be born again of the Spirit of God. You see, the first epistle of John, written by the Apostle John, says, verse 7, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, confessing sins is like going to the bank and rectifying with the bank accountant and saying, you know what? I borrowed a loan from the bank and right now I'd like to pay them back. And of course the bank says, wait a minute, let me take a look at your account number. And of course with a computer, the bank teller would punch in and all of a sudden the teller would say, you're right, you do owe so much amount of dollars in such a date, this date, that loan, that date, and so on, isn't it? So perhaps you have many, many transactions of loans with the bank. You cannot tell the bank, you know what, I don't owe any money. Because if you don't owe any money and you think you can get away with it, then before long, the bank will run after you. We know that. That is what we call common sense, isn't it? Likewise, we owe our Heavenly Father a sin debt we couldn't pay. And our Heavenly Father did not expect us to pay, but He sent His Son to pay on our behalf. But we've got to admit it that we owe a debt, just like to the bank. We can't say, well, we're going to cover our eyes and I'm not going to acknowledge that debt. Well, before long, it's going to take toll on you simply because the bank will run after you. They'll send a debt collector after you. You see, if you owe money, it is very simple. Just pay it. And in this scenario, we owe our Heavenly Father a sin debt we couldn't pay. And our Heavenly Father did not expect us to pay it with our own strength, but rather give us free gift, which is called grace. We are saved by grace. It is a gift of God. He gave us His Son and died on our behalf in order to pay all of our sin debt in full. And now all we have to do is confess it, admit it that we owe a debt, you see. And so the Apostle John tells us right here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Just like I mentioned earlier, if you cover your eyes and say, no, I don't owe the bank any money, when you owe the bank, we get in trouble in the long run, isn't it? And the truth is not in us, the Apostle John writes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. For that reason, my dearly beloved, in order to be born again of the Spirit of God, we've got to confess our sins. And it takes the blood of Jesus, His Son, that will cleanse us from all our sins. As written in verse 7 by the Apostle John in 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1. So first of all, we've got to confess each and every one of our sins, simply because every one of our sins has got the work of the power of darkness, you see. Once we have fallen into the law of sins from Adam and Eve, each and every one of us are born to die. Perhaps you will say, well, I don't have sins. I've been doing good work. Well, I can tell you one thing. If you can die, then you have sins. If you don't have sins, then you do not die. You see, the penalty or the wages of sin is death, the Bible writes. Perhaps you have been a quote-unquote a good person, but I can tell you one thing. If you put yourself against the Ten Commandments of the Word of God, and if you die, and if you can grow old, then you are under the law of sin. And that alone is sufficient to tell each and every one of us that we are but sinners. Now, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned in Mark 7 that what defile a person is what is within our hearts. You see, material things and food that comes down through our throat and being pooped out do not defile us, but what defile us is what comes from our hearts, the very line of thought and sins that come out from our heart. Now, let me read Mark 7. Verse 15, 20, and 21, 22 to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And he said, that which come out of the man that defile the man, for from within out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now, my dearly beloved, there are many, many kinds of sins that human beings have committed in the history of mankind. Now, it is essential in order to be born again of the Spirit of God to be able to thoroughly purge all of these sins, simply because each and every one of us commit different sins. Perhaps you say, well, you know what? I've confessed my sin in general. Let me put it this way for you. The God that we worship is a God of absolute precisions and absolute detail. If the Lord God numbered our hair upon each and every one of our head, do you not think He's going to be wishy-washy about the sins that we have committed? Not at all. the Lord God that we worship is an absolute, accurate, and precise God, and wishy-washiness itself is a sin. And so, for example, someone might commit stealing or doing drugs, while others may commit something else. You see, each and every one of our sins are different. For that reason, it is very important to be thorough with Almighty God. Just like you go to the bank, you cannot tell the bank teller and say, "Why, I owe money the other day and I've got loans." Well, the bank cannot say, "How much? I don't know. Just I want to pay the loan." It doesn't make any sense, isn't it? The teller has got to go into your account and access and open that account and look in detail, which debt do you want to pay? You see, they've got the detailed records of each and every one of our loan and our debt, isn't it? If the worldly institution keep track in positions of our debt, do you not think our Heavenly Father would not keep track through the angels all of our debt? Of course He does. How do you think He's going to judge us someday at the great white throne, as well as the judgment seat of Christ? There are myriads of angels that are assigned to record each and every one of our sins, and if we don't confess them and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, I can guarantee you He's going to hold us fully accountable for each and every one of our sins, simply because the Lord God that we worship is an absolute just and holy God. Furthermore, confessions of our sins also help us to be aware of the kind of sins that we committed frequently as we journey along the path of the cross. And the Apostle Paul tells us we need to transform our mind. And to be able to transform of our mind, we've got to be aware, first of all, of the kind of sins that we commit. And we've got to delete those sins and transform it with the truth. And if we are not aware of the kind of sins that we have committed, how can we transform from the lies and the sins into the truth of the Word of God, you see, into a life of absolute godliness? We've got to recognize the sins that we have committed in order to transform us from a life of sin into the life of godliness, isn't it? Likewise today, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be born again of the Spirit of God, you've got to confess each and every one of these sins, and I will walk that through with you a little later and pray together with you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and confess each and every one of your sins. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall give you a few testimonies in order for you to comprehend what being born again is all about. First of all, personally myself, when I was born again of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit began to shine into my heart of my sins, and I began to feel godly sorrow and weep over my sins. It is like as if He has shown me the pictures and the movies of what I've done in my life before and sinned against God. And as I wept and confessed and repent of my sins and washed them by the precious blood of Jesus, all of that weight on my shoulder was gone, and my heart was totally transformed with a heart of absolute peace instead of heaviness. It is filled with peace and joy in my heart. And the Holy Spirit began to transform my taste bud. All of a sudden, I love to read the Bible. You see, I become like a baby wanting to drink milk. And before, I do not like to read the Bible. I hated reading the Bible. And I had no interest whatsoever. And the last thing you want to do is to go to church. But this time, I became a born-again Christian. And all of a sudden, my taste bud became totally changed. And I began to love to read the Bible. I began to love to pray. And all of a sudden, I know how to pray. Before, I do not know how to pray. You see, prayer comes from the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is not the flesh. Perhaps you can use your flesh to try to pray, but it's not going to go anywhere. But once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you begin to pray and you love to pray. And also God began to hear my prayer. And I love to witness for Jesus. My heart is burning with the zeal, the first love of Jesus. and I began to share to others about what the Lord had done in my life and began to testify to others about Jesus. All of those things are the characteristics and the marks of what is called born again of the Spirit of God. Now I shall share with you another brother in Christ by the name of Raymond years ago. When he finally understood salvation and decided to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, a servant of a living God together with me accompanied him to pray and confess his sins. And at the end of that confessions, Raymond began to shake and tremble and asked me. And he said, "Rosie, my body is trembling beyond control." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit that indwelt in my heart turned around and spoke to him and said, "Do you do meditation?" And he said, "Yes, okay." So I said, "Then there is a spirit of the power of darkness over meditation, and the sin of meditation is one that you need to confess." And as he confessed that particular sin of meditation, all of a sudden he said, the power of darkness from the head began to leave his body down to his feet, and all of a sudden that trembling was gone. And ever since then, Raymond became a born-again child of a living God. And he told me personally that this was not like him, simply because every time it was 4 o'clock and it was time to hear a preaching of a precious servant of a living God, he would run home quickly out of excitement to want to hear that preaching. And also, his heart was filled with absolute zealousness to witness to others. And he said to me, "You know, this is not like me at all. This is not me." You see, born again of the Spirit of God is that way. There is a new person, of course, called the Holy Spirit that indwelt in us. And all of a sudden, our taste buds change. And we no longer feel the same anymore. Likewise, Dr. Johnson, one of the most powerful evangelists who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ in 1935, when he was born again of the Spirit of God, he was actually studying in a seminary. It is such an irony because that particular seminary had resulted him to believe in religion and lost Christ Jesus to the point that he had suffered so much that he decided he wanted to kill himself while studying the Bible in the seminaries. For that reason, Dr. Johnson, that very night, when he cried to God, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord appeared to him in the vision and spoke to him in Chinese language and told him that he died on the cross in order to save him. At that point of time, Dr. Johnson began to weep and confess each and every one of his sins and became the most powerful servant of the living God simply because the Holy Spirit has unveiled to his heart and shown him sins after sins that he had committed. And as he confessed that sin, he was filled by the Spirit of the Lord God and became a born-again servant of a living God. Finally, my dearly beloved, I'd like to share with you one last testimony of my nephew Budi, which I had shared the other day in the preaching session. Now, I had told Budi to confess each and every one of his sins together with me, genuinely from his heart. And if he decided to doubt, then it would be best not to confess his sins and accept Jesus Christ simply because he was not ready for it. But nonetheless, Budi agreed with me and decided to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Even though he had made a brief prayer of accepting Jesus Christ earlier, I knew that wishy-washy prayer did not cause him to be born again of the Spirit of God, simply because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and he cannot indwell in a heart that is not washed by the precious blood of Jesus, because a wishy-washy prayer of sin's acknowledgement is just like going to the bank and say, "I owe loan, but how much I don't know." That's not going to work, is it? We've got to be precise with the loan debt that we owe, and of course we pay each and every one of our debt accurately. not more, not less, isn't it? Likewise, I told Budi, I said, Budi, you're going to confess each and every one of these sins with me. With an absolute genuineness and honesty of your heart, from the deepest part of your heart, the very moment you doubt, it's not going to work, simply because Satan would not leave as his spirit of doubt. And if you have doubt in your heart, then the devil would not leave your heart, you see. So finally, Budi agreed with me, and as he confessed his sins, each and every one of his sins in detail with me, finally, when we say in the name of Jesus together, Budi and myself, all of a sudden, Budi was squealing in fear as we close our prayers in the name of Jesus. Then I turn around to ask Budi what is going on here. And then Budi told me and says, and three demons left his body, the size of 12 inches, black color. One crawled out from the left hand, and the other one crawled out from the right hand, and the other one crawled out from the heart down to the ground. You see, my dearly beloved, as we confess each and every one of our sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, then Budi's heart became absolutely holy, simply because the precious blood of Jesus have washed away each and every one of those sins, and the Holy Spirit sealed Budi's heart. And as a result, the three demons could not withstand the precious blood of Jesus, and which tormented the demon, that caused the three demons to finally leave Budi's heart and body. You see, all of these are the proof that Budi became a born-again Christian, and the Holy Spirit has now entered into his heart as he became a child of a living God. Now, my dearly beloved, if you have heard this message today, and if you would like to accept Jesus Christ and be born again of the Spirit of God, then I shall accompany you to make a brief prayer and confessions and repentance of your sins. First and foremost, I would like to invite you to open your heart, and you've got to be willing to be honest and trusting in the word that I've just mentioned, just like our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned here, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So all I need you to do is to open your heart with me right now and confess the sins that you've committed in your life. And I'm going to give you a list of sins right here. But I do require you to have absolute faith in the word of Jesus. Just like I mentioned earlier, with the electricity company, you've got to trust the electricity company to open or to turn on the power and give you that light. Likewise, I would like to invite you to open your heart by faith, trusting in the word of Jesus that says, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So all I need you to do is to trust the word of the Lord God by faith and faith alone. And if you pray with me right now, this prayer, with absolute honesty from your heart, without a doubt, and by faith, and faith alone, you will be born again of the Spirit of God. I guarantee that. So long as your heart is filled with absolute honesty and not covering any sins or trying to be doubtful and so on. You've got to have a heart of absolute faith in the word of Jesus and absolute honesty, just like Budi, my nephew, as I mentioned earlier. Now, I'm going to give you a list of sins, and you are going to confess the sins that you have committed, and the sins that you did not commit, you do not have to confess. There are approximately 64 sins, and perhaps you might have committed more sins than these 64 sins, but in general, this should be sufficient to cover most of the sins. And of course, it will take the Holy Spirit later on to reveal to you once the Holy Spirit is within your heart. Are you ready? Let us pray together and confess each and every one of these sins. Just like I mentioned earlier, the sin that you committed, you confess, and the sins that you did not commit, you do not need to confess. Is that clear? Now let us pray together, and you follow my prayer. And you say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. I have decided and accept you by faith as my personal Savior. And I confess and acknowledge my sins, and I would like to repent the following sins that I've committed against you. I've pride in my heart. I've anger in my heart. I've hatred, committed murder, vengeance, and wishing others evil. I've lied in my heart. I've dishonesty in my heart. And I committed stealing. I worship money. And I worship idol and believe in superstition and even doing witchcraft and religion, worshiping without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I possess things relating to superstition, witchcraft, and false gods, as well as believing in zodiac and palm reading. I've committed fornications, physically as well as my mind, adultery, sexual vices, and sexually abusing somebody else, watching pornography. I fear and felt nervousness, and I'm a coward. I'm selfish, I'm thoughtless, I'm crafty, I'm impatient, and I've gossiped and done backbiting behind somebody else's back. May the precious blood of Jesus today wash away every one of these sins, Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, I have also committed foolishness, callousness, recklessness, depressions, and even thought of suicide, unbelief in Jesus or God's words, and have a spirit of doubt on you in the past. Evil mouth, filthy mouth, and make crude, dirty jokes, evil thought, negative thought, fearful thought, hypocrisy, boastfulness, false accusation, ingratitude, smoking, drinking, gambling. I've been lazy or slothful, and commit dragging of time, procrastination. May the precious blood of Jesus today wash away every one of these sins. And Lord Jesus, please forgive me. For I have been stubborn, and I'm stingy, and I'm confused, and emotionally entangled. I have jealousy in my heart, and envious of others, and I'm not responsible. I made some quarrel with others and physically fight with somebody else and even physically and emotionally harm others, physically abuse and verbally abuse somebody else. I have self-pity in my heart, unmerciful heart, act of cruelty, and also truth breakers. I do not keep my promises, and I've got lust of the flesh. I like to eat excessively food and sleep excessively for no reason, and lust of the eyes, watching unhealthy movies, unhealthy books, internet, video games, as well as control of power by myself instead of trusting God, squandering time and money, not honoring parents, ferocious, lack of self-control, unfair, biasness, borrowing things without returning them, and singing and listening unhealthy worldly song or music such as rock, pop, and heavy metal, etc., meditations and yoga, destruction of physical body, tattoo, cosmetic surgery for beauty only, not for health purposes. All of these things, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the precious blood of Jesus, to wash away each and every one of these sins. Also, I'm a drug addict. I went to fortune-telling, magician involved in tarot, black magic, and abortion, cheating, worship of religion, insecurity, indecisiveness, stress, loneliness, spirit of running around, continuously going out to shop for no reason, disappointment, and looking in the past with regret. Lord Jesus, please wash away each and every one of these sins that I've committed in the past. And from today onwards, please write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. And I promise to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And I do not want to have any relationship whatsoever with the devil, with the power of darkness. And I promise from today onwards, I will read your words and live out your commandments in my life. May you please send into my heart the Holy Spirit to guide me, to teach me, and to protect me in the ways of truth. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you as you choose to humble yourself and acknowledge Jesus as your personal Savior. If you had followed my prayer earlier by faith from your heart, genuinely, then you are now a child of a living God and born again of the Spirit of God. May you continue to read His words every day in order to feed your spiritual life and grow and walk with the Holy Spirit in absolute obedience to His voice. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.